Hey, this morning we've only got a few moments, and that's good because I don't want to talk for long. But I just want to share a little bit of my journey, I guess, in the last couple of years. And really the only way I can share is from my own experience and what I've learned. And so I hope that's going to be good this morning for you. So we'll just pray. Lord, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you that you've brought us here for this time and this place. And Father, that you want us to hear from you this morning and from your word. And we pray that we'll be encouraged, pray that we would be changed and stirred. And I pray that you would upset us enough to do something different with our lives, Lord, this morning. So we just honor you and give you all the glory this morning. Amen. Amen. If you've got a Bible, would you like to turn in it to Romans 7, verse 15. Romans 7, verse 15. And I'd encourage you to still keep reading the Bible, particularly in its paper form. They still make them. They're still good. And they're really easy to use. You just turn the page. You have to be a bit careful. You can swipe right or left, depending on where you want to go. So I love this book. To me, this is the heart and soul of my Christianity, and I'd be lost without it. So we're just going to have a look at a couple of scriptures. But as I look back on last year, you know, like it's 2020, far out. We're starting a new year, a new decade. You know, it's kind of a big time in the world. And I look over the last couple of years and realize that, you know, I've had a few things to work through, and as I'm sure we all have. But I've looked back and realized that I have had cycles in my life where I've had particular events happen, and I've got to a stage in my life where it's fallen apart. And it hasn't happened once, it hasn't happened twice, it's happened many times. And I've realized that there's certain things in my life that trigger off certain responses. And so I just want to talk around that this morning and hope to encourage you around that. So every time, you know, something happens, every time this happens, I do this. This happens and this is my response. And generally my response has been the habits and the thought patterns that I've built up over 29 and a little bit few years of my life. And I've realized how influential they are, good or bad. And for me, they haven't all been good. They haven't all been helpful. And so I just want to talk around that shortly. You know, and I've realized that, you know, my worst enemy is me. My worst enemy in this world is me. You know, we have the devil that gets blamed for a lot, and he is real. There's no doubt about that. He's as real as our God is. And he is out to kill us and destroy us. Absolutely no question. His whole purpose is, you know what, I've created hell for myself. I've made my choice, and I'm going to take as many people as I can with me at no cost. At all costs, sorry. And so he wants to just kill us. You know, he's not out to play games. He wants to take us and destroy us. And the other thing we can blame is the things around us, the world. You know, oh, the world, you know, I get influenced by this, and we're opposed to do things in our Christianity. The world hates us because we're Christians and all this sort of stuff. And there is validation in that as well. You know, the climate, as you know, of the world at the moment is one of me. You know, myself, it's all about me. The world has never been so sort of been able to be able to connect with each other, but also so lonely at the same time. And it's ridiculous how lonely people are in a world where we have instant stuff with people. Like, it's ridiculous how it's gone like that. And in fact, that I've read some research this week, and apparently, you know, we being whoever gets, normally the statistics come from America, which is normally quite a normal sort of way of gathering information for the world, because they're kind of like the center, although we won't tell them that. But they say that we will spend 5 hours a day on a gadget. And you probably don't think, man, I'll be nowhere near that. But if you spread it over, you know, a week, a month, a year, we're on tablets and devices quite a lot. And they say that if a child's born today and it dies, you know, sort of 80, 90 years old from now, and the current trends stay, they'll spend 14 years of their life looking at a screen, looking for likes and dislikes and all that sort of stuff, which is full on, you know. And so we need to sort of be different. We need to repel that. Now, I'm not saying that those things can't help us, but are they the main thing in our lives? Anyway, I digress. So my worst problem is me, and I've been at battle with myself. I don't know if you have, but I've been at battle with myself. There's been times where I've gone, man, what is wrong with me? What a fat income. Like, today I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then by smoko time, I haven't done any of it, and I'm like, oh, well, that's what a waste of time. I'm just gonna write the rest of the day off. I'll try again tomorrow. You know, and the Bible says in Lamentations that God's mercies are new every day. And sometimes we can think, okay, well, does that start at midnight? Or does it, when's the rollover? You know, like, I needed some mercies yesterday, and I think I got a few left over, and I may use them this morning, but I've got none left for now, so I'm just going to write today off. And we turn a moment that, you know, that will attack us, or a moment of a bad choice, or a moment, and we turn it into something that just blows our day apart, which is absolutely ridiculous. There's no rule about that. There's nothing to say that a bad choice ruins a life. You know, there are consequences, yes, but a bad moment doesn't have to ruin a bad hour. And so, you know, it occurs to me that there's a lot more to all this than I've realized. And me, I'm a little bit naive, I guess. So I've taken a bit longer to understand these things, but I've had a revelation that before we win the battle of anything else in our lives, we have to win the battle of our mind. And because, you know, the battle of our mind is at the top of us. You know, the battle is up here, and what happens up here takes the rest of our life and how we work things out. So let's turn to Romans 7:15, if you've got your Bible, and I guess the scripture sums it up for me. I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. It's like a Dr. Seuss book, eh? And this is Paul writing, and I could just, that's just me. Like, I just think, man, there's so many things that I want to do, but I just don't do it. And there's so many things that I hate how I do, and I just keep doing them. And there's been this battle in my life with, you know, how is it, am I on my own with this? Am I weird? And I've realized that, no, I'm not. We're all in a battle with ourselves. I like how the Passion Translation translation says that Paul says, I am a mystery to myself. I do not know who I am. I'm a mystery. And we've got to remember that Paul, you know, Paul is one of the men in the Bible, right? Like, I don't know what you did this week, but Paul, you know, he wrote 13 books of the Bible. He's penned the Bible. He would walk after his conversion. Like, it's just the story of Paul. You need to read it and get it into you. But, you know, people walked past him. They took his handkerchief. They took his clothes. They picked his clothes up, and they got healed. You know, obviously the Lord healed them, but he did it through Paul. Like, Paul was legit. And then he writes this. I don't even know who I am. I'm a mystery to myself, because what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do. So I'm actually quite encouraged by knowing that there's, you know, I've got someone that I can relate to, another one in the Bible. I love being able to relate to people in the Bible, even though there's a bit of time that's gone between them and me. We're still human, and we've still got the same problems. So I'm a bit encouraged by that. So if we admit and we say, okay, our mind is where this war is. It needs to. We need to battle this. We need to flesh it out, so to speak. We need to actually tell our flesh that it's no longer in charge. If you flip over one page into chapter 8 of Romans, it says, and I wish I had brought my glasses. I just need longer arms, actually. It says, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to that. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. So it gives us a way out. The Spirit of God is what changes us. We just got to tell our flesh to stop and go away. We've actually got to be, the boss of ourselves. You know, when you go, I don't know if you see the movies, but it always makes me laugh. You know, when someone gets sacked in the movies, they pack up their little brown box. They use the same box in every movie, right? It's like a little packaging box, and they walk out, and they got a couple of old picture frames, maybe a pot plant, and they're out, you know, and they're gone, and everybody watches them leave. And it's kind of like we've told our flesh, we said, you know, Lord God is the boss of my life. I'm going to live by the Spirit. And flesh, you got to do what I say. You're sacked. You're gone. This is a hostile takeover. I don't want you here anymore. And so the flesh packs up his little brown box and then goes. But then, you know, sometimes the flesh will ring back at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, when you're feeling a bit down on that, and go, oh, should we catch up? Should we have an appointment? Do you wanna still come back in my office and we'll chat about some stuff? You know, like they haven't changed the door code. The flesh sort of somehow got back in. And so we need to sort of reboot. We need to like sack it, get rid of it, change the door locks, change the doors, change everything to stop them getting back in. And it is possible. We can have dominion over our flesh, but we have to choose to. It's a battle. It's not easy. In fact, it's probably the hardest thing to do. And so bad choices, bad moments. The battle's in our mind, positive and negative thoughts. They say that the average human has 14 seconds of bad thoughts every few hours, and it adds up over a 24-hour period of 2 hours a day, that if not nipped in the bud, we are thinking negative things. So they say that, I don't know how they measure all this stuff, but I find it interesting that they can. No one's ever come and measured my brain. I'm not sure why. So that we just get bombarded with negative stuff. And so we're always having to be on the offensive, not on the defensive. The best form of defense, as they say, is offense, is doing something, is going forward. And there's a cool story about Theodore Roosevelt, and he was a US president in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and his dad was a soldier. He was a career soldier. And so Theodore Roosevelt grew up wanting to be a soldier. He wanted to be in battle. He had this deep desire to follow his dad and what he'd done with his life. And he started training. He went to West Point or whatever it was and started training. And during that time, his mother and his wife died from two different related things on the same day, and which is amazing. Like, what's the odds of that? And so he went into this sort of dark time. And left the army, went out west, and hung out with all the cowboys and Indians, and roughed it for a few years. But he still had this pull on his heart. And a few years later, America was at war, the Mexicans and whatever they were, and he just felt this pull to go back and help win this war. And so he took a whole lot of these guys. These real, they called the Rough Riders, but that was actually their name. And they were all like cowboys and hired hands and sort of Indian guys that hung around and horsemen and just normal people like you and I. And also, there was like lawyers and doctors and that. It was the weirdest group of people you'd ever meet. It was like this mishmash. But he took these guys to this place called San Juan Hill. And they say that they got to the battle line and they were just getting bombarded, like they were people were getting shot and stuff. And see, for him, he had always dreamed about this. He dreamed about being in battle, being in war. This is what he thought he was born for. But, of course, the bullets start flying. It sort of makes you think, you know, is this really what, this wasn't what I thought it was going to be like. I sort of had it imagined a different way. But so they were at the base of this hill and there was a barbed wire fence that ran around the bottom of it, and that was separating them from going over and climbing this hill and taking on the enemy. And they said that there was a moment where Theodore Roosevelt stood up, and he, with the bullets whistling and stuff, and he crossed over the wire. He crossed over the wire and led the charge for these guys. And they said that when he did that, that his whole demeanor changed. His whole leadership changed. He like owned the moment. He took the moment. He decided, you know what, I can take these guys and we can just retreat and we can go back to our lives and this war will never win. And yep, we'll be safe as, probably won't get shot. But he decided, they talked to him later, and he had decided in his mind that that was his moment. He felt something rise in his spirit. And he's like, you know what, I'm going to do this. This is what I've been dreaming about. This is what I was made for. And he crossed over that wire, and they said that this thing rose in him like a lion, like a wolf, actually. And he led these guys. And they went on to win this war. I mean, it was just incredible. And he went on to do so many more things. And he became president, and he was the first president to ride in a submarine, first president to fly in a plane, had the first phone line in his own home. Like he was in a time of the world where it just changed really quickly. But he sort of just, for him, that was his moment. And he always looked back on that in his life and said, you know, that was the day I crossed over, I drew the line. And that's, I believe, what we need to do. Yes, we can stay in comfort, we can stay in this confined world of ours and be safe, but we're never, ever going to be able to win our battles if we just keep retreating. And there comes a time where we either cross over that wire and get shot at, or we don't. And nobody else can do it for us. It's our choice, and we have to do it or don't do it. You know, I guess one of the things for me is that I kind of knew I was up against stuff. You know, I knew that I had opposition. I knew that I was my own worst enemy, but I wouldn't always accept that it was a war. I didn't accept that, you know, that I had power over that. And it's not until we accept it, it's not until we own it, till we take personal responsibility, that we are actually at war with ourselves, that we will make change in our lives to get over that and to push forward. You got to recognize you're in a war. We have to be proactive instead of reactive. I don't know about you, but for me, I have spent a lot of time reacting to things in my life. So I've let things go a certain way, and then I've reacted to that, and not in a good way. You know, I've spent many a night at home watching my kids through the door, you know, as they're asleep finally, or, you know, thinking, man, what a donkey. You know, the kids were trying to spend time with me earlier and I was too busy. I was doing this and doing that, and really none of that was important. Man, if I could have that time back. You know, I might have a fight with Rach and let her win, and then later on, in the stillness of my heart, and in their moments like, man, what did I do that for? I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to hurt her. She's my wife. I love her, you know. My boss, you know, he's told me to do something, and I said, whatever. You know, like, there's all these things, and I react a way that I don't want to react. And you walk away, and you think, man, if I could just take that back. And so, if that's the case, you know, there must be a time in our lives where we're proactive, where we go, okay, how can I live in the moment and not react before I've had to think about what I'm going to do? And it's just that tiny little dash, eh? It's that tiny little dash between the thought and normally what comes out of here. and it's a tiny dash. And it's kind of like that dash. I was at a funeral yesterday, and a friend of ours, and he's an older guy, and, you know, 1942 to 2019, not 2020, sorry, 2020, little dash in between. And the little dash, that's his life. That's George, you know. That's the moment that we have to be able to capture somehow. Yeah, how do we do that? How do we do that? Because, to be honest, you know, you'd think, man, it's impossible to do that. How do I think and then not talk or not act or not fly off the handle or in that moment? And when you find that out, please let me know. You were hoping I'd have an answer. There is an answer. It's in here. I'll bring it out shortly. You know, the devil sows lots and lots of thoughts and things in our head, and we react because we react because it's of something else that's annoyed us and we haven't dealt with it, and it's just sort of stewed in our minds. You know, with something will happen at work or over there, and then someone over here who's completely innocent just gets the full Monty. Like the kids, you know, I've come home before and the kids' shoes will be in the doorway, and like, who cares, whatever. Next minute, oh, what are your flipping shoes doing here? And you're like, what? But this has nothing to do with that. It was the fact that, you know, I might have let someone down at work, or I got in trouble, or, well, you know, I didn't accept responsibility for something. So I think the key is to all this is to accept personal responsibility. Go, okay, I'm the one that needs to take control of this, and how can I do that? And really, the only way we can do it is God's help, God's Spirit, the Spirit of God. We've got to let Him rule our minds. Rule our minds. Romans 8. Oh, I read that before. You know, we're not controlled by our sinful nature, but by God's Holy Spirit who lives in us. And the third thing, I guess, that's helped me is that to work at stuff. Like, nothing in life happens when you just sit around and let it happen. Well, not for me, anyway. You have to put your hand to something. You have to work hard at something. And you're like, oh, yeah, but God doesn't. He's not into works-based stuff and all that. No, He's not. But He wants us to do our best. You know, God's never, ever going to do something that we can do for us. He'll do stuff that He can do. Because He's God. He's there to do what He does. But He's not just going to do stuff and we do nothing. We sit there and just receive it. That's not how it works. We have to be applying ourselves. We have to be pushing ourselves harder. We have to be disciplined. All the things that naturally we don't like to hear. You know, I made a commitment to start going to the gym again and getting fit because I like to run. And I just got in a real bad funk where I just couldn't go running. I couldn't go to the gym. My mind, it was in such a funk that I just, you know, I'd want to go, but I wouldn't. And then I'd go, and then I'd feel bad because I hadn't gone. So I'd only do, like, a little bit and then go home and go, well, that's why I haven't gone. What a waste of time. But one day I took on that barbed wire. I read a book and read that story actually about Theodore, and it had nothing to do with anything else except that I wanted to be someone like that. You know, I want to be someone who sees the moment of being potential change and do it and have a go. You know, I don't want to retreat all the time. I'm sick of retreating. I want to push through, and I hope that you're like that too. I hope that this year, this decade, that you will make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to change things. You're going to put some effort in. You're going to make yourself do stuff you don't want to do. And, you know, because I think we can over-spiritualize everything. You know, we can pray and ask God to help us to lose weight, whatever, but then we won't get up and do something. You know, I think the more that you can push yourself in the physical, then God sort of seems to bless that more in the spiritual. The Bible says to renew your mind. So you've got to just keep, thinking of the Lord, thinking of His Word, quoting Scripture, watching stuff. You know, that we've got so many things at our hands now that we can use to uplift us in that. And that's why we need to do that. But, like I was saying before, it's still important to come to church because that's where the rubber's. And it's the rubbers where, you know, we take what we learn and we hear and we do that, and then we apply it to other people, and then other people disagree with us and annoy us, and then we have that moment where we can not fly off at them because we've taken that moment, and that's where growth comes. And I just want to ask this morning, as I wrap up, I don't even know what the time is, but I feel like I hope that's helped something and somewhere. Commit. I want to ask you this morning, will you commit to the war of your mind this year? You know, who has your high ground? What speaks to you the most? You know, is it those 2 hours of negativity, or is it the 22 other hours of good stuff? And you know, I don't want you to sit there and go, oh well, you know, you're just talking about talking positive to lead to yourself and all that. You know, like I drive a Honda Accord, but you know, I speak out, I've got a Maserati. I'm not talking about that. Don't twist it into something that it's not. Positivity, I believe, gets such a bad rap because, well, firstly, most people that carry on about, oh, positive speakers, I hate them, you know. Who are they? They're just so positive, and they're not talking about real things or real life, you know. If you get to a place like that in your life, and this is from experience, is that you're so negative that you think that anything positive is just over the top. But my Bible says that God came to give us life and to its fullness and its abundance. And how can you live a life of fullness and abundance if you're not positive? Like, we're living with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've been forgiven. We've got a place with Him in eternity. How can we not be positive? And so I want to ask, you know, this morning, I know for me it took a lot of thought and I'm still working through it, but, you know, you just got to get to that moment in your life, I think, where you realize that the things that you think and the patterns of your behavior formed on so many things that aren't the Word of God. They're things that have happened to you when you're younger or through your journey of life, you know, and that's the cool thing about being human, is that we're all the same. Like, we've all had issues. No, there's no one around, no matter how well they look like they've got it together, that really has got it together. It's all just smoke and mirrors. And so yeah, if I had one encouragement for you this morning, it would be to admit or to get to a place where you think about how you think and who's got your high ground, who's up there, and what stronghold do you need to ask the Lord to pull down in your life. Say, you know, if there's one thing in my life, Lord, it's a stronghold that's in my wife. She's got a few, don't worry about that. I believe that God can change us at any time of our lives. We're never too old to change. We're never too far out of His reach. We're never too far gone. The last couple of years, you know, for me, have just been in this real bad place of not understanding a whole heap of stuff, but realizing that that's come from not dealing with things in my life and not crossing over and not making my thought life important. So I'm speaking about this because I'm working through it, and I can tell you that it changes. It will change you if you allow God. So let's just pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you're challenging us this morning to, Father, put you in control of our mind. Holy Spirit, we ask that afresh you would come and provoke our conscience, Lord, to to the way it was when we first met you, where we thought, where we knew nothing, but then we knew you, Lord God. And Father, it was fresh, and we were obedient, and we wanted to change, Lord. We had bad habits, but they were of the world. And Father, we can have bad habits that are religious, that are just years of doing the same thing. And Lord, I just know that you have such great things for us this year. You have a plan and a purpose, and that's just, it's just gold, Lord. You have the best for us. And I pray that we would surrender to you fully, Lord God. Surrender to your will in our lives, to your Holy Spirit. That we would take a moment before we fly off the handle and kick the dog and do silly things like that, Lord. That we would take the time to learn to discipline ourselves, to think about what we're about to say, to think about the action that we... And Lord, I just pray that we would often change the code on our door, Lord, for the flesh. Father, that we would tell our flesh what to do, Lord. That the Spirit in us would be greater than anything that's in our flesh, Lord. And we'd be good examples to the world of what can happen when we let go and stop trying to be so this and so that, Lord, but just to let you have your way in our lives. So we just thank you for this great bunch of people. Father, I pray you bless them and this year for them. And I pray you, Father, continue to stir them, and that this year would be a great year for them and for us as a church, Lord, City Church, and all our locations and all our people, Lord God, that this year would be looked back on as a real good year, Lord. And so we just thank you and give you all the praise and all the honour.